thank everyone for joining with us today as we worship the Lord together as individuals and families. Thank you so much for being a part of our worship time here at Charleston Baptist Church. I do want to encourage you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 will specifically be in verses 15 through 20. And if you happen to have one of the church-provided Bibles that you take home with you, I would encourage you to open that Bible up to page 901. That's what we'll be this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we end our time of studying God's Word together. Lord, we just thank you for today. Lord, we thank you that even though we are in a time of appears to be great dysfunction in many ways, Lord, distress, Lord, I pray that we would be reminded that though many of us are isolated in many ways in our homes and isolated from people around us, Lord, let us be reminded that our enemy, Satan, is still on the prowl. Lord, I pray that we would be mindful that even in the midst of all the physical things going on in our life, Lord, there is always spiritual warfare that is waiting at the door. And so this morning, I pray that as we study God's Word, Lord, I pray that you would be with us, that you would strengthen us, that you would encourage us, that you would remind us of the truths of the gospel, to know that, yes, we have an enemy, but, Lord, we have a victor in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit and your spoken word, I pray that all of us this morning would respond in faith to you. In Jesus' name I pray. As you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, we're going to continue our study walking through the Great Sermon on the Mount again in Matthew chapter 7. And our passage this morning really deals with something very, very important for us. But Jesus is going to bring to our attention the reality that we have influences all around us. And at times, those influences seem good, they seem nice, they seem like they're going to be great for us to give us satisfaction and encouragement and pleasure and all those different things. But what we find in Scripture, specifically what Jesus is going to address today, is when we dig deeper into those influences, the influences of this world will never bring about satisfaction. They will never bring about true pleasure. They will never bring about true satisfaction and comfort and security unless it is Jesus Christ himself. In fact, Jesus would say in Matthew 7 these words, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits." In this great passage, we see two incredible realities that you and I, as followers of Christ, need to keep in mind each and every day when we consider the power of influence. The first reality that we find this morning is this: we must beware of the influences around me. We must beware of the influences around me. If you and I are going to live our lives as followers of Jesus Christ, it's important for us to realize that we can't just follow anyone. Jesus starts this passage off in verse 15. The first part, he says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing." Jesus begins this passage with an incredible word, the word beware. He's looking at the people gathered there on the hillside as he's delivering the great sermon on the mount. And he looks at his disciples and he says, there's something that you need to know, something that you need to be looking out for, something that you need to be on guard. The word beware is in the present tense. And this is not a one-time thing. This is every single day that you live, you must pay attention. There is danger all around us as followers of Christ. We must keep our heads up. We must constantly be on guard for what influences our life. Jesus tells us that there are false prophets among us. People who are posing as true prophets. People who are posing as true shepherds. Those who are supposed to be guiding us. Those who are supposed to be protecting us and encouraging us and teaching us the word of the Lord. Jesus says that in your life, you're going to find that there are many, many false teachers, false prophets. So what is a false prophet? What is a false teacher? A false prophet or a false teacher is someone who influences you away from the things of God
and towards the things of this world. In other words, it's anyone who takes the gospel and either adds to it or somehow wants to take away from it. Either there is something else that needs to be added other than Jesus, or somehow what Jesus has already told us needs to be minimized. Those are influences that you and I face each and every day. And as we consider the people who we allow to influence our lives today, we find that there are really two common mistakes that we make. The first mistake that we make is this. We assume that we can trust people simply based on outward appearance. We commonly make the mistake of thinking just because someone looks like they have their act together, just because someone is smooth in their talking, or someone who happens to be nice to us, someone that has these expert credentials on the wall, and yes, even use at times biblical language, we can trust them. And oftentimes, these types of influencers, they're difficult to identify. Jesus says something interesting. He says that those false teachers, they come to you in sheep's clothing. They look and sound just like true followers of Christ. It's important that as you listen to the radio, as you watch TV, as you speak to your friends, your coworkers, and your neighbors, as you engage in online communication through various types of social media platforms, it doesn't matter how smooth someone talks, it doesn't matter how great of a following they may have. It doesn't even matter if you begin to drift ever so slightly in agreement with that false influence. If it's not fully, and I stress fully, correct and clear counsel word of God, guess what? It is not God's word. I wonder how many Christians watching and listening today, especially in light of all that has happened this past week, getting our counsel from everything else but God's word. At times like this, your marriage, your family, and our community needs to be anchored in the word of God. It is important that the greatest influence in our life, the influence that filters our emotions, the influence that filters our thoughts, the influence that filters our words and our actions comes from the Word of God. Henry Blackman would say it like this: when unbelievers make important decisions, they must rely on their own knowledge and understanding. You, as a Christian, have access to God's wisdom. God's Spirit is within you to guide you. The Holy Spirit will open your eyes to the truths of Scripture so that you can see things from God's perspective. Oh, we need God's perspective. Only God sees the future. So only He can accurately lead you to make correct decisions today. We have to be in constant awareness of who you and I allow to influence our lives. But there's a second mistake that we often make, and not just based on outward appearance, but we forget that the goal of the enemy is to keep us away from Jesus. We forget that as we navigate through life, especially when times are chaotic and there's great confusion and we're busy, we lose sight of the fact that the enemy is out there and his number one goal is to keep you from Jesus. You know, Jesus could have chosen several different phrases to illustrate the false teacher, the false prophet, but He says these words in the second part of verse 15. He says, but inwardly they're what? They're ravenous wolves. You know, here's what we find in life. That sheep don't hurt you. I've never heard of anyone being mauled to death by a sheep. But a wolf. A wolf is a different story. So the false teacher is not only deceptive, and at times hard to identify, they're also very, very destructive. Like sheep, ravenous, ferocious wolves. Wolves that are hungry to move you away from Jesus Christ. Beware. Be on guard. Pray for great spiritual discernment. You know, the enemy has a threefold strategy in all of our lives. But the
goal for your life and my life, and that is to secretly try to rob you from the joy of your salvation, to kill your relationship with the Lord, and really to destroy who you are in Christ. The enemy will do anything and everything to incite you, to tempt you, to live in a way that may bring fear or discontentment or false hope or false security. And Jesus says, beware of the influences around you. But there is a second reality that we see in this passage, and that is this. Always examine the influences in my life. So not only do we need to beware of the influences in our life, we must daily examine those influences that we allow in our life. In our passage, Jesus repeats a specific phrase two different times in two verses. He says in verse 16, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? Are figs from thistles? And then in verse 20, Jesus would say, thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Two different times, Jesus says that phrase, you will recognize them by their fruits. You know, Jesus gives us a very, very simple illustration here, and I'm so thankful that he did. It reminds me of my freshman year in college at College of Charleston. I, for whatever reason, took a Bible class. Let's just say I didn't do so well. Walking through the campus of College of Charleston, I had no idea what I was doing. In fact, I'm pretty sure I failed that class. But there's hope in the gospel. I'm here today. But Jesus does something very simple for us. He makes a simple illustration of fruit. You know, when you walk through a field and you see a tree with apples on it, guess what you're going to call it? You're going to call it an apple tree. When you walk through a field and you see an orange on a tree, you're going to call that tree what? You're going to call that tree orange tree. Jesus says, you want to know if someone is on the narrow road or the broad road? Again, that's the context here. Do you want to know who's really influencing your life, who you are allowing into your life? You need to look up their fruit. Jesus says, you know, you can alter your image, but you cannot alter your purpose. The Lord is after your heart. That's the whole purpose of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus Christ getting your heart. And so we know that the Lord is after our heart, and guess what? When he gets our heart, we get him. We get his life in us. Fruit of his life in us. That is so, so important for us today. So again, you can alter your image, but you cannot alter your purpose. Jesus says in verse 16, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? Are figs from thistles? Jesus here mentions two different types of plants. He talks about a bush, and from a distance, that bush would have some small things growing on them, and they would appear to be grapes, but when you got closer, when you inspected them a little more, when you dug a little deeper, what you found was those weren't grapes at all. Jesus also says that there's another plant called a thistle, and that particular plant would have some flowers growing on it, and from a distance, you would say, oh, those things are figs, but when you got closer, when you check in a little bit more, when there was greater examination, what you would find is what? Those weren't figs at all. That's what Jesus is telling us today. That as we examine the messages, the speech, the influence in our life, if we inspect it a little bit more, is it really from the Lord? It's important for us not to take things at face value. Examine the messages. Why? Because every message we choose to be influenced by, it will affect our mind and it will affect our heart. They have the ability to not only affect our relationship with the Lord, but it also has the ability to affect our relationship with one another. We live in a day and age that, for many reasons, is blessed by technology, but on the same side, if we're not careful, there'll be a great curse with technology. We have information overload. The question is this information that we're receiving, is it a good influence? Every time we hear a message, we must ask ourselves, does this support or oppose the teaching of Jesus Christ? So as you filter what is being told to you, what is it saying about Jesus? What is it saying about you? What is it saying about sin? What is it saying about redemption? What is it saying about the Bible? What is it saying about marriage and finances and how we deal with circumstances in this life? Does the teaching that you are allowing to influence your life, does it move you to a place of deeper dependency of Jesus Christ? Or is it moving you to a greater dependency on the things of this world? Not only should we examine the messages that people are saying, the speech that comes into our lives, but we also need to examine how people are actually living. Jesus would say in verses 17 and 18 of Matthew 7, so every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Jesus gives us two contrasting types of fruit, one that is good and one that is bad. Jesus says no matter who the person is, they will have one or the other, either good fruit or bad fruit. If what they are saying, lining up with God's word and how they live, is it modeling what God's word is, not just saying, but living. I'm not saying that people who are genuine followers of Christ don't sin. We certainly do. But what is the long-term fruit of your life? Just like wolves that are hard to identify in sheep clothing, it's sometimes hard to identify the true fruit of someone's life. You know, trees don't sprout up out of nowhere. It takes time to grow, but eventually, inevitably, the true fruit of someone's life will expose itself. So what are our takeaways this morning from these two realities? What are our takeaways from God's word? There's two. The first one is this. The fruit of my life reveals the source of my life. The fruit of your life, my life, truly does reveal the source of our life. Remember, you can alter your image, but you cannot alter your purpose. If the source of your life isn't right, guess what? Neither will the fruit of your life be right. So what does bad fruit look like in someone's life? There's much to be said here, but I think the Apostle Paul gives us a good indication of that. In Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 19, he says, Now the works refers to the fruit. The works of the flesh are evident, meaning that they can be seen. But Paul gives some categories of how bad fruit is seen in people's lives. He gives the category of sexual sin. He refers to it as sexual immorality, impurity, and sensuality. Then he's going to move to sins related to worship, that of idolatry and sorcery. And then he talks about relational sin, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy. And then he's going to talk about the sins of indulgence, drunkenness, and orgies. And then that somehow our sin is not in there. Guess what? Finishes it off with this, and things like these. Now, the flesh here refers to all the places where we try to satisfy me with me, where we try to live life in our own strength, in our own resources. It's the places of our heart where we say to God, I've got this. I can do it on my own. I know what I need more than you do. But Paul gives us a warning. He says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Again, Paul in no way, Scripture in no way, is saying that even genuine followers of Christ at times can exhibit sinful behavior in their life. That's not what the Scripture is saying. The emphasis here is on the word do. In other words, your lifestyle, your habitual practice in life. If your life habitually is without confession, repentance, and faith in Jesus Christ, and it is marked by the sins of the flesh, then your source is not Jesus Christ. Your source is you. And like Paul, remember what Jesus has already told us in Matthew 5:20. He says, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom. This is bad fruit. This is the type of fruit when the source is ourself. But you know, there is another fruit. It's a gospel fruit. It's a grace fruit. Paul picks that up in the next verses, and starting in verse 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is a supernatural fruit. It's a work of grace in your life that we don't deserve it.
Said we did such things, there is no law. And those who belong in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So Jesus lays out two different types of fruit. Jesus says your life will be marked. It will be defined by one or the other. Again, the scripture is nowhere communicating that authentic followers of Christ live sin-free. Now, there is only one sin-free person in this world, and that is Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness. He is our source. You know, your ability, my ability to produce good fruit must come from the right source, the source of Jesus Christ. In other words, Christ in us will always produce good fruit. There's a second takeaway. Second takeaway is this. We must choose carefully who and what influences you. We must choose carefully who and what influences you. Jesus here ends this particular set of passages with an incredible warning. He says in verses 19 and 20, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Jesus says again, by your fruits you will recognize them. Not by their gifts, not by the extravagant things that they do or say, but by their fruit. Our fruit, this is important, our fruit isn't going to accomplish our destiny. Our fruit reveals what our ultimate destiny will be. There is a narrow road that leads to life. There is a broad road that leads to death. So how does a follower of Jesus produce good fruit? How is the fruit of the Spirit modeled in your life and my life? How do you ensure that you are choosing the right influences in your life? Jesus would say, you must constantly and consistently into the right source. The source is the key. And the source is your personal, ongoing, and I repeat, ongoing relationship with Him. Jesus would speak to His disciples before He goes to the cross in a great passage in John 15. In John 15, verses 1 through 8, the scripture says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear much fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch that withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. You abide in me and my words. Abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to me, my disciples. Six times in eight verses, we're told to bear fruit. Seven times in eight verses, we're told to abide. Fruit is a huge deal in the life of a believer. In fact, fruit is the defining mark in a believer's life. It's our lifestyle characteristics. It's what glorifies our Heavenly Father. And the key to living out these verses isn't to try harder. It's not about you being more patient or more self-controlled or more loving or more kind. The fruit is the life of the vine, who is Jesus Christ, that is being pressed out of the branches that are His disciples, His followers. Through my union with Christ, I'm being changed and you're being changed from the inside out. So what is your role and my role? It is to simply abide in Him. This is the only command in these verses. Abide in me, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus has invited us into a personal, daily relationship with Him, where we can rest in Him, where we can learn from Him, where we can be restored by Him, encouraged by Him, and yes, used by Him. Abide, trust, and receive all that you already are in Christ. Trust His love, His joy, and His word. Live your life in humble dependency on Him. He is your source of not only eternal life, but He
This is what God wants for you. God wants you to have eternal life, and He wants you to have abundant life. And He has done everything to finish that work through His Son, Jesus Christ. So what is your life rooted in today? What are your greatest influences? The influence in your life will ultimately reveal the source of your life. And the ultimate source of your life comes through confession, repentance, and faith in Christ Jesus. Confession. God, I believe what you say. Repentance. Lord, I've turned from myself, I've turned from my sin, and I've turned from you. Faith. Lord, I trust that everything I need for this life and the next is found in you. When the ultimate source of your life is Jesus Christ, then the greatest influence in your life can also be Jesus Christ. Yes, I will battle with temptation. Yes, I will battle with my sin, but I have someone who is greater than me in my life. I have the Spirit in me. And every day, in every way that I live in Christ, in an ongoing relationship with Him, I can choose to walk in His Spirit. And when I do, and as I do, the Scripture says, I will bear fruit. I will bear more fruit. And I will bear much fruit. By this, my Father is glorified, and I prove to be His disciple. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today again, and I pray that you're in our response time. I pray that through the reading of your word and through the power of the Holy Spirit, our faith in you has been strengthened. I pray that we realize that as followers of Jesus Christ, there is great power and influence. And the reality is that we must be aware of the things that are influencing our life. And not only that, we must examine the influences in our life. Lord, I pray today that all of our source of life is found in you. Lord, I pray that we would choose wisely the influences that we allow into our life. Lord, for all of us who profess Christ as our Lord and Savior, I pray today would be a time of not only encouragement, but possibly conviction. Lord, that we would run to you to restore the areas of our life where the greater influence hasn't been you, but maybe it's been what we've been watching on the news, or maybe the struggles of our own heart, or the things that are going in our own mind, and we come to you. Confession, repentance, and belief in the gospel. Or maybe there are some who are listening and watching today that realize they don't have a relationship. I pray right now, as they listen, Lord, that they would receive the power of your amazing grace. The grace that not only forgives us of all our sin, but the same grace that cancels the power of all of our past. Lord, I pray that your life, eternal life and abundant life, would be a reality for all of us today. In the great name of Jesus Christ, we thank you so much for joining with us today in our message in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. We'll continue next week walking through the next few verses as we continue to walk through the Great Sermon on the Mount. At this time, I would encourage you as you meet with your family or maybe a small group of people or maybe you're by yourself, I pray that you would utilize the resources that we have developed for this particular sermon. You can find those right where you're at. Just click on them. There's some great discussion questions for you, age appropriate discussion questions. We pray that not only would we respond to truth, but Lord, through the power of the Word, we would apply that truth to our life today. I pray that you would be encouraged today. Thank you for joining with us. I pray today would be a blessing for you.